What was your job at McNair Discovery Learning Academy?
I am actually the bookkeeper, so I handle all of the financing and also the insurance for all of the teachers.
And you happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe it was the right place at the right time. You were actually just filling at the front desk on August 20th, weren't you?
Yes, my principal had asked me if I could actually cover the front desk for the secretary who had to go to lunch for that day.
And what went through your mind when you first realized there was a gunman with a rifle in front of you saying, we're all going to die today?
First thing that went through my mind is this is a joke. I was like, okay, this is not for real. This is a joke. But when he opened up his mouth to allow us to know that this is not a joke, it's for real, that we're all going to die today, I knew then that it was not a joke.
Michael Brandon Hill, the alleged shooter, never really hurt anyone, although he did fire his weapon a number of times into the air outside at the police.
Yes, but he also fired first in the office with me into the floor, which the bullet actually ricocheted, but it did not hurt any of us.
So what did you think when that happened?
It came on another level of fear, because now I know that he is most definitely unstable in all of his ways.
When he went outside to shoot at the police, you actually asked him to stop and to come back inside, didn't you?
Yes, because at that time, it was like cowboys and Indians. I mean, he was shooting. It was like bullets coming from everywhere. I mean, they were just spraying bullets at each other. And I am actually sitting by the window. So I said to him, bullets don't have no name. Come back in here. They're going to kill you and me. I need you to come back in here. And so he wound up coming back because I don't know if the bullet ricocheted and hit him on his arm, but he started bleeding. And so I'm sitting there telling him, literally screaming, come back in here, come back in this door, come back in here. And so he then comes back to proceeds to come back in there with me.
Do you think after that point he sort of trusted you? Because he allowed you to communicate with the police for him, didn't he?
Well, he didn't know I was communicating with the police like that. He told me to hang up a while ago, but what I did is I put the phone on the desk where he could not see it. And so when he was talking to me, I was telling the police what he was saying.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know that I was on the phone with them that whole time.
But he still seemed to, well, he continued to talk with you. He didn't hurt you, did he?
No, I think what it was that Michael Hill seen the compassion and love that I had for him because I knew that pain. I had just experienced that pain myself. And so I knew what that pain felt like, and I wanted him to be able to know that in spite of his pain and what he was going through, that I loved him also.
And what pain was that, Antoinette?
Well, the pain for me was that my ex-husband had just left me after 33 years. The man that I had been with since I was 13 years old. A woman came into my home just like Michael Hill did. The only difference was she didn't have a gun, but she had another weapon, which is still having an effect on my family now that we're still trying to heal from.
You had a chance to escape the gunman at one point, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't. And the reason why I didn't is because, remember now, I'm sitting here looking at this young man and watching this young man who's unstable, who has allowed me to know that he's unstable. And I'm actually seeing him unfold. And so I know that if I had ran, that all of the students and everyone in that building, including me and Michael Hill, would have been dead that day. And for me, it was more important for everyone, including him, we have an opportunity to go home to our families.
So how did you keep from panicking? I got to think you must have been scared to death.
I was scared to death, but on the inside, I was panicking. I didn't know how calm I was until everybody kept saying, oh, you were so calm, you were so calm. So I went back to listen to the 911 tape. And I'm like, okay, I didn't even recognize who it was. I'm like, okay, God, there was nobody but you, because I can't even tell you right now what I said, because I don't remember. So I know it was nobody but God that actually walked me through that incident. I know it was.
The gunman kept repeating that he wanted to die. What did you say to him when he said that?
I allowed him to understand my pain. I allowed him to know that I was actually feeling that same pain and wanted to take my life when my ex-husband left me and didn't think that there was nothing to live for. But I wanted him to realize that in spite of all of that, there was something for both of us to live for. And this day, we were all going to survive.
You're a very religious person, I think it's fair to say, a very spiritual person. Did you discuss religion or God with Michael Hill during this ordeal?
No, because I don't believe you have to always discuss God with people. People will know God through your actions. He knew that no matter what was going on, whether I said God to him or not, he knew my genuine love for him was going to allow us to be able to survive.
So once the ordeal ended successfully, with the shooter surrendering to the police and the SWAT team came in, did the trauma of the events that happened that day, did they catch up with you afterwards? Did you have nightmares or anything like that? Any after effects?
Yes. I still have times where I sleep and don't sleep. It's the thing about all of that is that it's not a microwave. You can't put it on 1 minute or 1 second and think it's going to be over with overnight. There's still effects that affect me today. But in that, I know that God's a healer, and he shall and will continue to heal me through it all.
You wrote in your book that, and I'm quoting here, it's very strange to wake up one morning and find yourself being called a hero, unquote. Are you a hero?
No, I just believe that I'm God's vessel. God decided to use me that day. He decided to call my number, and I was in so much pain and so much things going on in my life. My relationship with him had just been at its all-time high. And so I was just a vessel that was willing to be used by him.
So how has your life changed since August 20th? It's pretty much turned around completely, hasn't it?
It really has. It really has. I'm actually now on book tour for my book, Prepared for a Purpose. And I'm actually going out and speaking nationally and internationally, allowing people to know how to be prepared for their purpose. Through all of this, I had my GoFundMe account, which people all over the world donate and continue to donate, and we still need donations. And they actually allowed us to start a nonprofit organization, which is Kids on the Move for Success. And we were able to give a student an educational opportunity through a scholarship at the Trumpet Awards a couple of weeks ago. And so with that, it's allowing us to realize no matter who you are or where you are, if you're Michael here or if you're Antoinette, you can always still be prepared for your purpose. So doing this nonprofit, it is allowing us to give our educational opportunities that people can otherwise not be able to have or be able to afford.
If this event had never happened, if August 20th, 2013 never occurred the way it did, where do you think you'd be today?
Back at the school sitting, still shuffling papers and winning souls and changing lives and people that are around me.
Do you think you'll be known from now on as the woman who saved a school under siege? This is your new role in life?
Well, the thing about it is that I want people to be able to know that I'm human just like them. So it's not just me being known as the woman who saved a school, but it's me being known as the person who was an everyday, ordinary person. I just had an opportunity to be able to save lives.
Antoinette Tough is the author of Prepared for a Purpose. Ms. Tough, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure talking with you, and you have a wonderful and great and blessed day.